Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Actually, morning. What time is it? I don't know. I've lost track of everything. Bob Pompeiani here behind the mic. Matt Harkins behind the glass. He's taking your calls at 412-928-9370. Paul Alexander with a good job of going back in time, and I think we'll be spending some time from time to time as the weeks go on doing stuff like that. But it's always good to reminisce about some of the best players, some of the best events in the history of Western Pennsylvania sports. But today, I'm going to begin with a question. Which do you miss more, sports or toilet paper? Those are the two prominent issues today, and obviously, what we're dealing with as a not just country, but a world, takes high priority over anything else. And safety is the number one issue. You're trying to make sure people get that message. And I think it's been delivered that you have to do your part in these uncertain times caused by the coronavirus, COVID-19. And bottom line is, if you just do what the experts tell you, hopefully that will be good enough to get through it. Countries overseas, Europe has been deemed the epicenter of this, and you can see, you know, cases are spiking there. They will spike here, too. You're going to see a lot more of it just because of more testing getting into play, and that testing should have been done even earlier. But the bottom line is, do your part, make it real, because it is real. And it became real for us in the sports world this past week when Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz tested positive, and I think all teams, all college programs, they were willing to play without fans. But once a player contracted it, then everything ended. And I think that's the general twist. I truly believe if Gobert had not done that, gotten the test positive, that they would have played that next day in the NBA. And moving forward, I think hockey would have played. But I think it became a domino effect. And kudos to the sports world for taking the lead on that. They didn't wait around. They decided this is it for now. However, I want to do take some time today and play a little game with all of you out there at 412-928-9370. You can also tweet me at KD Pomp. What scenarios could work? And again, we're dealing with a hypothetical. Number one issue, and always will be, safety, making sure people can contain this. We hopefully see a downward trend as far as cases, and people continue that vigilance throughout the rest of their lives, quite frankly. I found it interesting this week that you saw pictures everywhere on media sites of airplanes being sprayed down, of gyms, of school buses, of restaurants, of everything. And it makes you wonder, why didn't that happen earlier? I mean, that could have, and going forward, it should be protocol. It should be the way it is. And I know people will say it's too expensive for organizations. Well, then the government, which is spending a whole bunch more money now trying to fight this pandemic, could do itself a favor in making this mandatory for some of these places so that maybe we get rid of flu cases, at least significant portion of them. I just found it weird that we never really talk about that, but it's a good way to go. Aircraft being that way, airports being that way. You have to, you know, err on the side of caution, especially now, and maybe that's a lesson going forward, as is the lesson of personal hygiene. Everyone has to take that seriously, and it should go beyond this. Once this pandemic is over, and who knows when that'll be, but once it is, I think people should remind themselves that that's a good thing to do every day of their lives, and it could make a drastic difference in, you know, fewer cases. That takes some of the stress off healthcare systems and all this sort of thing. However, I do want to talk about when you think time will run out on sports leagues today. And specifically, we'll start with the Penguins, just because they're locally going here. They still have six regular season home games left. They've played, I think, 71 games. You know, I don't know. I'm assuming that if they start by mid-May, you can still squeeze in a season. It would be a reduced season, and you will make some people unhappy in how you put it together. You know, you might have to go with current standings and just say tough luck on teams that are 1 point out of a playoff spot. Tough luck on wild card teams. And then go with a shortened series to start. You know, there has to be some time involved to get everyone back up to speed. I'm not sure how much that would take, but, you know, best of threes return. There used to be a best of three. I remember George Ferguson, the Fergie Flyer, scored a big goal in Buffalo for the Penguins, and when they was a best of three. You know, everything's gone the way of best of sevens with obvious reasons, because hockey, unlike most sports, really relies on gate receipts more so than others. TV money is very big, but the other networks command much bigger TV money, so gate revenues are important. But how would you feel about a best of three, a best of five after that, and maybe even a best of five for the Stanley Cup Final, or a best of seven only for the Stanley Cup Final? That could happen, and I guess it depends on the time that we're talking about. The NBA says it's going to wait 30 days and reassess. I think that's a prudent call. See where they are. See what's possible. You may very well still see play return with no fans. I mean, that's a possibility moving forward as well. So, you know, it's all very much up in the air and hypothetical. Then there is Masters. I didn't think it would go this far, but the Masters has decided, and they took a lot of time deciding. I know people down there have been in multiple days of meetings trying to figure out the best scenario, but they have postponed, and the word is postponed. They have not canceled this event yet. So they're going to try to figure it out. In my view, this is my opinion, I don't think they're going to be able to fit it in. You know, that course closes from May to October. So if they remain true with that for their membership, then October, you're right in the middle of football season, if it's going by then, and I assume it will be. Where do you put it? Do you go against the NFL? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. The FedEx Cup certainly is going to be affected by all of this. There are a lot of FedEx Cup points available in the Masters, so that won't happen. There are a lot of things up in the air at this point, but I do believe that if there's a way for them to do it, they will do it. But it seems like it's very difficult to arrange that. So they're going to go, you know, week by week, month by month, like everybody else, and try to figure it out. The NFL is the least affected by the coronavirus pandemic so far. And their season is still a long way away. Their start of the new calendar year is still a few days away. And at this point, I haven't seen anything that tells me they're looking to delay that. And that would include free agency. We saw yesterday some moves made with franchise tags. And it's interesting to note the Steelers have not yet made theirs designation when it comes to Bud Dupree. So, number one, either they're not sure, which I don't think is the case, or number two, they're waiting to find out what's going to happen with the CBA vote. Because that is still on, and it still has an 11:59 deadline from last check tonight. Once votes are counted, it's just a matter of, you know, majority rules. Whatever has the most votes wins. And there was a point in time where I thought it was going to be, okay, it's going to pass a rattler easily. But I don't know about this now because I don't know how players view this current situation they are in. Does it impact their decision? As of Thursday, only 40% of the players actually had voted. People are wondering what they're going to do. And it will affect what they do, they meaning Steelers and every team in the NFL. If free agency begins with their illegal tampering period, you're going to wonder also what domino has to fall first when it comes to free agent quarterbacks. Most believe it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady will decide when he wants to go. Bruce Arians has not made it, one of those things where he's not hiding. He says he'd like to have Tom Brady down there. The whole organization would like to have Tom Brady down there. A lot of people would. According to ESPN, eight different teams have, said they would be interested, I guess. We'll see how that goes, but I think a lot of this is also going to be predicated on the CBA vote, and they may end up delaying the start of their free agency period. I think that's still the most prudent bet and the best bet for them. So we'll see how it goes. We are in uncharted territory. There are a lot of things that are happening that, you know, obviously people have never gone through before. I remember some of these other virus cases, you know, and I think social media plays a big role in this because back in 2009, the swine flu was a terrible thing, and it affected younger people too. This one seems to be putting elderly people more in jeopardy. And back then, you know, Twitter just was coming on the scene. I don't think there was a lot of Twitter in 2009. Matt, am I right? Because I don't, you can look when it first started. I know I didn't join until 2009.
I didn't join until 2010, so.
Okay, so my point is, I think because everything has become so easy to get off your phone, no matter where, you know, news spreads quickly. So do false reports, so do shockwaves, so do fear. Fear sells. People buy fear more than they buy hope, and that's, I wish that would change. Sometimes you have to hope and believe in hope and not so much fear, but fear does dictate what goes on, and I think, you know, you look at stock markets, you'll understand that. They operate under fear-based mentality, no matter what. But I think this whole thing is totally different than it was with the swine flu. It was serious, but people were not as aware of every daily occurrence, every new case that becomes positive. I mean, every case that becomes positive becomes a news story. Well, back in 2009, that wasn't happening. I think it's good that we have the access to social media to make these things, especially when it comes to prevention measures that CDC and other people can tell you about. But back then, it wasn't the case, and we didn't know really the magnitude of it, and I think that kind of subsided some of the fear-based stuff that we see today. But it is serious, and it's good to have that ability to, you know, look on your phone, look on whatever device you use, and find out instant advice that people would give you, or where to go, where not to go, these kinds of things. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. And I want to thank the sponsors who have been outstanding, as they always are. PNC Bank, make today the day. Allegheny Health Network, health for all. We also have number one Cochran, go one better. Shandorovich, Shandorovich and Fishman. Ireland Contracting, IrelandContracting.com, title sponsor of the nightly sports call. Hey, welcome back. Good morning, everyone. As we continue, I want to remind you the 2020 updates are brought to you by Shandorovich, Shandorovich and Fishman. Injured at work? Call Shandorovich, Shandorovich and Fishman, 888-98-TWINS. They've got your back, not your wallet. 412-928-9370. Call us on the fan hotline. We'd also like to tell you that you can follow this station on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com and text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. It's 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. All right, let's go to the lines, ask some questions, see what people have to say. Barry, you're first in the North Hills. Hello, Barry. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I wanted to touch on a couple issues you broached here in the last few minutes. First of which being, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Masters is something they, because mind you, you left it out, even though I'm sure you're well aware. You know, Riders is being played this September,
right,
with President's Cup having been played last year. So I don't think they want to go up against the behemoth in the NFL. I think you try to fit it in prompt, if at all possible, April 30th through May 3rd. Okay, that's going to be MN Corner at its most beautiful in terms of the aesthetic. I think that's feasible, you know, with what, not quite 6 weeks out. So I'd like to see that. On the subject of the NBA, you look at a team like Portland, okay? This respite, that's going to let that team get healthy up front. That's going to be a dangerous team. I like what I've seen out of Milwaukee and New Orleans. Those are going to be teams on the rise in the future. I think only one L.A. team gets to the conference finals in the East. I could see Toronto defending the East, if not winning the title again. I like that team, Bob. And real quick, you'll appreciate this. Two lines I saw at the Rivers this week, I jumped on one of them. Pirates plus 1,500 to win the least amount of games in Major League Baseball. And for that matter, get this, Niners plus 1,000 to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. Well, a lot of that depends on, Barry, what goes on in the upcoming days and weeks here with free agency and what teams are planning to do. So I think, by the way, did I see that the Rivers Casino is taking a 14-day break and shutting down all operations?
I read as much myself today, Bob. Hey, let me ask you this before I go. Well, once again, you made mention of it in the break. You know, Mario proving king of Pittsburgh yet again, not the least bit surprised because that's who he is. He's a man of the people. And finally, just because I know you're big on the sartorial, much like me, is it Eton or Etro, Bob? You have a good day, man.
Eton? I don't know. But Barry, hitting on what you're talking about, too, with regard to the Masters, I don't think it's going to be that early. I think, first of all, again, we're dealing with hypotheticals. The number one issue is that we get this thing under control, limit its access to people, contain it, see the, you know, the peak is going to happen here, from what I understand, and talking to people that I know in the medical field, you're going to have a lot more cases in the next 2 weeks. And then hopefully, with smart usage of their advice, people will understand to stay away, stay at home, do all the things you're supposed to do, and we'll see a little decline, and hopefully a big decline. I still think that's not feasible for the Masters. I think the Masters, in my own opinion, is not going to be played this year. I just don't see it happening, just given what we're dealing with, given with the fact that that golf course is closed, and I don't think they're going to open it specifically for that. It disrupts other events that are already planned if they do come back. So I think, for all intents and purposes, my money is that that's not going to be played. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they do play, because I think it's one of the great things in sports. And as far as, you know, the Pirates, who knows? I mean, the best case scenario, Matt Harkins and I were talking about this, is they're not going to probably get back till mid-May. Best case scenario. And so obviously you're going to limit. I think there's so many games in the baseball season, you're going to have to limit what they play. Pick it up as if the season began on that specific day, and whatever's on the schedule, you do it and you go from there. So it's going to be a shortened season, no doubt. You're also going to have to factor in time for teams to get ready again after they go through spring training and then have all this time off. Pitchers are not going to be ready right off the bat. They're going to have to go through another mini spring training. So that is a different scenario with baseball. But when they do start playing, maybe this works to the Pirates' advantage. You know, you talk about making a bet the least amount of wins. Maybe they surprise people and get more than you thought just because other teams aren't ready. And there is a lot of stuff at stake here, and things can change very, very quickly. Let's go to the bottom of the board. We got Ron on the cell phone. What's up, Ron? How are you?
Bob.
Yes, Ron.
Okay, listen, great show. I have a question for you, and I haven't heard or read anything about this. What happens to all the TV money? Do they have to, basketball, the NCAA, you're talking multi-millions of dollars. Do they have to pay that back?
You mean the leagues to its broadcast partners?
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, and then as a result, the broadcast partners have to pay back money to its clients, people who have bought spots in those games. So, I mean, for example, the NCAA tournament, you can imagine how much money that costs CBS.
Oh, yes.
You know, but they recoup some of that money because none of it aired, but they also have to give back money to their clients and people who have sponsored. There are big-time sponsorships involved with that. So
now, do you believe that the media will give them a break for a while and wait and see what happens, or do you think they're going to want now?
Well, I don't know how that's going to work, and I think each individual station and network is different on how they handle this kind of stuff. I think they're waiting to see probably what's going to happen in the next month. I think 30 days is a good way to just say, okay, where are we? Is it safe to do this? And it may be returning to play without fans for a while, too. I don't know. There are so many things up in the air. We'll see when it does happen, Ron, but I know that it's costing everyone from that point of view. But none of that matters. What matters most is we limit the death toll in this thing. You can't have so many people falling, the elderly who have really risks in this situation. It has to start there. I don't want to focus too much on money because that doesn't matter to me. What matters is safety. However, since I brought up a hypothetical advantage situation, I'm glad you did chirp in. But that's what's happening now. You know, clients are going to get the money back, but networks are going to have to pay back to its broadcast partners some of the stuff they do. Let's go to Will on the cell. Hey, Will, how you doing? Welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got two things for you. Number one, in response to your fair sales comment, I think the thing for me, man, is you know, not knowing what, I mean, we may have to live with this coronavirus for the rest of our lives, for all we know. And maybe there is an answer to that question that I don't know about.
Well, I think in time they will have a vaccine. The question is, how soon can you get it, and how do they distribute it? So, I mean, that's still down the road. I do think there are people working on it right now, and they may have something. You know, animal testing has to go down first, and when that happens, they can try it in people. Just to see what the results would be. But there are so many talented people in the medical field, in this country specifically, but around the world, and I believe that will happen. And the other thing that you have to understand about flus is, or viruses like this, Will, weather normally dictates some of it going away. The regular flu tends to dissipate in the summertime. The question is, will this novel coronavirus case do the same, or some of them don't go away in the summertime. So all of these things are still being worked on.
Definitely a lot of unknowns, for sure. The other thing I had for you is, you know, I love Mario and everything he's done for the city, but why don't these people simply file for unemployment and be paid that way?
I don't know how unemployment works because they haven't been laid off. They're still, you know, you have to be, for that to happen, you have to go through the process of being laid off. That's not the case here. This is a pause in the season. Down to Florida we go. We got Jackson on the line. Hello, Jackson.
Hey, Bob. First of all, thanks for letting me be on the show.
Sure.
I got two questions. Do you think that Gensel could be ready by the time the season starts up again for the Penguins?
Good question, because I think that's one thing that if this goes long enough, you know, I think by most accounts he might have been ready by the second round of the playoffs, and maybe it's longer than that, but still, if they do resume, even if it's in a shortened capacity, Jake Gensel could be ready to play. Yes.
And the second thing is, are they trying for DP, are they going to wait for, like, the Players Association to vote on it, or are so they could see if they could get him and Hargrave, or are they just waiting to see if they could finalize the deal?
Well, I think it's mostly, and thanks, Jackson, appreciate your take. You're a smart young man down there, and I appreciate you calling the show, but I think the Steelers are waiting until the CBA. I think they have every intention of signing Bud Dupree to a franchise tag, but they haven't done it yet, and they're running out of time to do it, but I think they will. They just want to see what happens, and if this vote comes back and it does not pass, then that changes a lot of what they can do. Because the new CBA has more cap space available. There are more things you can do. If it doesn't pass, I would expect guys to be cut. We saw a lot of that yesterday in the NFL. Players being let go. So that's the number one thing I think everyone, specifically the Steelers, are waiting for. What happens to that CBA? And regardless, Bud Dupree will get a franchise tag. And for my money, I would do it for 1 year, and I wouldn't even investigate long term, because I still think I have to factor in T.J. Watt money down the road. T.J. Watt's going to command a whole bunch of money. You think Antonio Brown has a whole lot of money? Well, wait till you see T.J. Watt, what he gets. And then the question then becomes, can you afford to have two edge rushers making all that kind of money? And I think they'll probably say, we can do 1 year with Dupree. If he plays well, he'll get another contract somewhere. By then, hopefully they will draft someone and develop someone to be opposite, or you can sign somebody, too, in free agency, because you'd lose that Dupree money at the end of 1 year with a franchise tag. A lot of things going on that, at this point, again, are contingent upon what happens with this vote. And I've talked to a few players. Two of them changed their minds from the beginning of this. Not that that represents anything, because there are a lot of thousands of players in the NFLPA, but I think it makes you wonder. With all this stuff going on, but also a 10-year agreement. 10-year agreement is a long time, and you're going to have to live with, if they truly want total free agency, which I know a lot of players would like to see, every sport seems to have it except this one, 10-year agreement, you're going to deal with franchise tags and transition tags for another 10 years, and people will complain about it for another 10 years. So if you really don't want it, limited access and total freedom, then you're probably going to vote no for this one. I don't know that the owners would ever give it up anyway. So it might lead to something even worse, and that would be a work stoppage. A lot of stuff up in the air. The number here is 412-928-9370. So call us with that. And again, a big thank you to our sponsors. Our show is brought to you by Allegheny Health Network, Health for All at AHN. And I'd also like to pause here and congratulate and thank the people of all the medical networks around, not just here, but around the world, who have selflessly gone in this fight against this invisible enemy. You know, they're certainly putting their own health on the line, but they're there to help people. And you don't realize people like doctors and nurses and volunteers until situations arise like this. You know how good they are. You know they save lives. But now, with potentially a stressed healthcare system, if things get really intense with the number of positive tests. And our show is brought to you by the good people of Allegheny Health Network, Health for All, PNC Bank, make today the day, number one Cochran, go one better. Now, everything up in the air, as you know, yesterday, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman was a busy man, and he was on NHL Network, and we're going to run a little bit of what he had to say, because I think he answers questions that a lot of you out there have concerning the Penguins specifically. But the first thing he talked about was a crazy last couple of days.
Well, they've been extremely hectic, very sobering, and as a fan, sad. The fact of the matter is, as you said in the opening, life as we know it has changed, and that transcends sports. And we're all going to do the best we can to get through this and get back to life and our game as usual.
Gary, maybe just walk us through what happened on Wednesday night, Rudy Gobert, the Oklahoma City-Utah game, and how the dynamic change for all sports, including hockey, with what was going on in basketball, led you to postpone the season the next day.
As we were dealing with the events as they were unfolding over the last couple of weeks, we were focused on every contingency, whether or not we might have to cancel the season at some point, whether or not we might have to take a pause, how we would continue to play as long as we could, whether or not there would be fans in some of the buildings or all of the buildings. And I had Wednesday afternoon pretty much focused on the fact that if we could complete the regular season and get ready for the playoffs, maybe we should be doing that with all of our buildings empty as it relates to fans. And that's where I was going into Wednesday evening. However, every scenario I ever discussed with anyone internally or with the clubs, particularly the owners, had the caveat that if a player tests positive, mm-hmm. we were going to have to stop playing. When the Utah Jazz player tested positive and the players couldn't play the game and the fans in Oklahoma City had to be sent home already having been at the game, it occurred to me quite vividly that it was highly unlikely that we were going to get through the rest of our season without a player testing positive. And I wanted to then get ahead of a scene like the NBA had on Wednesday night and simply stop things and pause so that we could wait to see how the pandemic plays out. And so I then decided to send a notice out to the Board of Governors asking for a conference call on Thursday, which we did midday, so that I could advise the owners as to how I thought we should proceed, and then move forward from there. I just decided, in light of the fact that this pandemic seems to be infecting more and more people, and the more people you interact with, the more likely it is you're going to come in contact with it, and the fact that two of our teams occupied locker rooms within 24 hours in the last week of the time the Utah Jazz did, again, the likelihood that we were going to have a player test positive was only going to increase the longer we played. And so that was how the decision was made.
And, of course, you set it up that way, Gary, because you're always thinking ahead, and I commend you for that. But can you talk a little bit about the human element, what that moment was like for you when you do actually realize that this is going from a hockey sport concern to a humanity health concern? I know you don't take that responsibility lightly, but can you talk about the gravity? The buck stops with you at the end of the day. I know how good you are at working with the ownership groups, but...
When you're in the moment, you're doing it. You're not thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about the fact that the business may be impacted. What you're thinking about is what this means in the greater context of what was going on in the world. And it was clear that the world is having a health issue, and the health and well-being of anyone associated with our game, especially and including our fans and our players, had to be addressed. And so the question was, what's the best way to respond? We had tried for the prior couple of weeks not to overreact, but to be very, very cautious and professional. But in the final analysis, I didn't want to have a scene where all of a sudden we found out a player had tested positive, and then we had to figure out every team that they played, right, everyone he interacted with. So the better notion was, let's go home, send everybody home, and let's isolate for a few days, take a deep breath, and then figure out how we then move forward, which I'm optimistic we're going to be able to do. I believe that in a credible, sensible way, we'll be able to, at some point, complete the season and get through the playoffs and award the Stanley Cup.
In your statement that came out yesterday, you used the term the league is on pause right now, as opposed to some of the other leagues who have used suspended and postponed. The NBA came out not too long ago and said minimum 30 days for their league. Is there a timetable from your standpoint on this and maybe the wording of pause versus some of the other terminology?
I'm not critical of what anybody else would say or what terms they used. I don't see how I could set a time frame one way or the other. It's just a number, there are people in the medical community and charged with governmental decisions that are ultimately going to make the decision as to when it's safe to occupy our buildings with or without fans. So at the end of the day, you know, a number is just a number. I think it's better to say, okay, we are taking a pause and we're focusing on what we need to do when we can come back, when it's appropriate to come back and safe to come back.
So that was Gary Bettman. Thought it was important for you to hear that based on the plans moving forward. We get a lot of text messages and tweets regarding what will they do. Well, you can hear he is, and he sounds optimistic that he's trying to figure out a way that at some point they could resume the season, which leads to my question to you, and that would be, how do they do it? And in what form does it take? Because you're not going to be able to fit all of it in. You're going to go all the way up until the start of a new season, and they can't do that. So there has to be some planning which would include reduction of games, specifically in the playoffs. And I'm okay with best of three. I'm okay with a lot of different scenarios out there, best of five all the way through or best of seven only in the finals if you can squeeze it in. The question would be, what do you do with the regular season? Because they're going to need some games to get back. Maybe you take it up to 75. Most teams have played between 69 and 71 games. That way, if teams are 1 or 2 points out of the wild card, they can play their way in. And at least, instead of saying, well, you stopped, you cost us, we were 1 point out. If we had played a few more games, we could have moved into that spot. Or, I was talking to Tim Benz, who is a regular on our CW program. He would even go so far as to have a play-in game. If your wild card teams are the two of them available who have the spot, and then two outside of that, you put them in a best of three each to determine who gets the final wild card. I mean, there's so much up in the air, but the number one issue, as Gary Bettman said, was to make sure nothing that happened in the NBA would happen in the NHL. You don't want players being tested, and that, as soon as that happened, I knew everything was going to follow suit. I really did, watching that NBA game. It was just scary to see what happened. And what was even more just ridiculous is watching Rudy Gobert 2 days before touch all those microphones because he thought the whole thing was just a joke. And while you can say that media coverage has been intense and maybe over the top, fine. But when he does that, you're putting people at risk, and he apologized for that immediately on Instagram. The interesting thing I also thought about that was that 58 players were tested right after that. On both teams, both staffs, everything. Only one other came back positive, and that was Donovan Mitchell. And from what I've seen, both those guys are doing okay being treated with this coronavirus. So that's where we stand with that. It looks like the NHL will try to do something. What about baseball? What do you see in baseball? What's the most likely situation? And how much time will they need to ramp up their season? We'll talk about that and some other stuff as well. And the NFL putting franchise tags on some of its star players, but so far the Steelers haven't done that. They're waiting to find out about what goes on with regard to that CBA, and that will have an 11:59 p.m. deadline tonight.